Pattinson and Tom Pattinson, your gardening expert, on the weekending show, 1 p.m. Friday.
You are listening to Lion Art Radio, 107.3 FM.
Ah, oh, yes, Tom. Right. You were that man with the lemons.
Do you know, I wish Chumbawamba were here today because you should see that lemon this morning.
Really?
It's got four lemons. Oh, my goodness, there must be about 12, 14 centimetres long.
Really?
About 12 centimetres long and four big ones on. And it has lots of buds. And one or two of the buds are broken into flower. And, oh, my goodness, there's a scent when you walk into the conservatory this morning.
But it's in an east-facing conservatory, Tom.
But it's warm, and it gets plenty of light, you see. And it's amazing. You keep it in the conservatory or somewhere indoors, away from the frost, of course, during winter, and you must keep it above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Below that, it tends to be affected by the cold conditions. And if you can keep 40 degrees Fahrenheit at least there, it'll thrive. And then as soon as a little bit of warmth comes this time of year, it's out and it's flowering. And when the sunny days come summer, you put it outside in the garden, sheltered spot, plunge the pot below the soil and leave it a lemon in Northumberland outside during the summer. You wouldn't believe it. But it doesn't the power of good. It's like a health farm to it. And then just at the end of August, early September, as just a little bit nip on the evening air, you dig it up and bring it inside. And it's so grateful, it starts flowering again and fruiting. Fantastic, really is.
Well, I remember seeing lemon trees in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was north of Bergen. Yeah. That was quite a way up. Well, not that far up, but Voss. Fjord mountain area. Yep, and there were lemon trees, you know, in the summer with lemons on, and I remember thinking, wow, but thinking back, they must have some pretty hard winters there.
Oh, yes, and I mean, think of places like France, for example, and parts of Italy. The grapes, the vines stay outside, they can't bring them in. They're acres and acres, or hectares of vines growing outside. And people worry about keeping a vine in the greenhouse, an established vine in Northumberland with no heat in the greenhouse.
Well, do you remember I mentioned a new addition to my new garden, the magnolia tree?
Yes.
That I put in a big pot. Looks like it survived.
Good. That is good.
There was no fleece on it.
Wow.
It's in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how cold it's been, Tom. I was a bit worried about it. So it's looking good.
Well, quite a few things have not survived. You're fortunate then, if it's because them and azalea, putting them out for the first time, magnolia, etc. They're a little bit touchy if it's a severe frost.
I've moved the young plants. Mm-hmm. I've moved the camellia and I've moved the azalea, but the azalea is still in a pot. So we'll have to see.
Oh, well,
have to see how it
sounds good.
Yeah. Well, the camellia looks like it's going to be okay.
I'll tell you what hasn't done well, and there's several I've seen have died. The cordyline, the Australian palm, the cordyline australis. It's the with the long, spiky, spear-like leaves. Mm-hmm. They start off as young plants. You buy it at the garden centre for about under £5. You grow it on, it develops a thick upright stem, and as it grows, the leaves die away, so you pull them away and you get a long bare stem, and then you get the beautiful palm tuft at the top.
Yeah.
Quite a few have died this winter, and we had one that was about 10 years old, and it was probably 12 feet high, and sadly I've just had to saw it down this morning, because it's gone, no longer.
Oh dear.
But it's easily replaced. Buy one for about £5.
Well, you know, I can understand that with an Australian plant.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad was an Australian and he was always feeling the cold, and that was in the middle of summer. So,
well, similarly.
Poor things. I mean, it's peaked out of mine. It's 20, mate.
Well,
truth.
As you know, I've got a couple of brothers over there in Adelaide, and one's in the hills, one's in the city suburbs, and they keep in touch regularly by telephone. And recently one of them, Bill, said, it's cold at the moment. And I said, what's the, for God's sake, it's midsummer, because we were there last year and it was up to, nearly up to 40 Celsius. And it was scorching. Oh, he said, it's down to about 12 or 13 at night. Oh, my goodness. Just by, for interest, by comparison, I think it was Monday, one day this week, it was 3 Celsius. Next day, it was 10 Celsius. I mean, a 7 degrees Celsius difference, and what a difference it makes. But today has been exceptional, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. It is lovely outside.
I went outside this morning. Went to see the horses this morning. When we got back about 11, quick refreshment, out into the garden. And normally, it's when people say to me, when can we transplant trees and shrubs and fruit bushes which are deciduous? No leaves at the moment. And I generally say, oh, you should have up until the end of March with most of them, because once they start burst their buds and start growth, it's a bit silly to try to transplant them. Well, just look at this. We're not out of February yet, and that's this is spirea. Yeah, that's the bridal wreath.
Shoots here.
Yes, that's the bridal wreath, spirea. It has those long white flowers, just like the beautiful great long wreath of them, trail of them in May, and touching just the end of May. And look at it now. It's not in bud. It's bursting from bud. I generally use those twigs to support hyacinth bulbs in a bowl. They give support, yeah. And they look beautiful. They just blend in with the whole thing, and they support the flowering spikes of hyacinth bulbs. And if you leave them in long enough, they actually root, and you can put them in the garden afterwards.
So and 2 months ahead of time, Tom.
Well, it is. It's certainly, I would say, a month ahead of time. And this one here, this is blackcurrant. That's the fruit, blackcurrant fruit bush. And it's not supposed to be bursting into bud yet.
I'm pulling a confused face. Yes, that's way ahead, isn't it?
It is. And there's another one. I didn't bring it in, but the flowering currant, ribes. Its buds have burst as well. Look at the you know, we talk about pussy willow cactus.
Well, the elder flowers the willow. Early, isn't it?
Well, oh, it is.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, that's got to be a month ahead as well.
Well, it's certainly something like that. And it's just quite amazing.
There they are.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's so nice. It's a nice surprise.
Well, of course it is. And suddenly we seem to have gone from famine to feast of sunshine this morning.
Why?
Why is
Mother Nature reacting like this?
I guess we got a ridge of high pressure this week. But I'm not too concerned why. I'm just enjoying it today.
Yeah.
And yesterday at the garden centre was just proof that one good drop of sun and it will bring everybody out. A little warning here, though. I did notice that they had lots of plugs of tender perennials on sale and tender half-hardy annuals, which are for bedding plants. And there was a notice there to give them credit. There was a notice said, these plants need protection for the moment if you buy them. But you see, people just rushing in and buy them, and they think, oh, I can put them in the garden. Well, you can't, because there'll be some frosty nights between now and planting out time.
Yeah, it'll end up like my fuchsia.
Really?
Yeah.
No fuchsia at all.
No fuchsia. Tom Pattinson is in the studio live.
Ho, ho, ho.
I like the fuchsia joke.
It just came out.
It was sad. It was sad, though. It was really sad. I brought it before Christmas. I was full of hope, but hey ho, you know, some things work and some don't.
There are lots of them. Some are forced, some come out naturally. The old one is when someone is showing a friend round the garden, his wife and he are showing a friend round the garden, and they're looking at different pots, and he said, I do all the fruit and I do all the vegetables. And he said, does your wife not do anything? And she's standing there. She should have spoken up for herself. He said, oh, I, over there, that's herbaceous border.
Oh, dear. Should have seen it coming, Tom.
Don't ring us, we'll ring you.
Yeah. No, it was all right, Tom. That wasn't bad. Have you got any others? Just warm us.
No.
Get the tumbleweed.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
they used to do that on one of the radio stations I worked on. I used to love it.
What was that?
And they would try to make this DJ laugh, and various people in the news team would be on, and then they had to tell a joke, and he would never laugh. He was very good at keeping it in.
Really?
Yeah. Now, but he would play the tumbleweed.
You've been tested by some of our musical guests on occasions.
I'm terrible. May wants to start laughing.
I'm thinking of We Steal Flyers, Derek.
Yeah.
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 Alan,
no,
for a start. Yeah.
Bad giggler.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably why I'm not in news anymore.
No, it's their loss, Carl. It's their
loss.
Well,
I don't know. This is true. I was once allowed to leave early from my news shift because I couldn't read the news anymore for laughing.
Who was that for?
Peak FM.
In which country?
In Derbyshire.
Derbyshire.
Peak FM.
Oh, of course, the Peak District. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Peak FM. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was working with somebody who's on BBC now, Andy Gallagher, and Andy said, yeah, it's okay, you can go home, Carl, because I had a sore tummy from laughing so much.
Goodness.
But he was one of the main reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very, very funny day that was. Great radio station to work for. I tell you, radio can be a great place to work.
Yes. I like it when I come in here. You tend to forget it's many, many years ago. But I used to do little things for television, for Tyne T's gardening pieces, just 10-minute pieces. And of course, unless you're stupid, you go half reasonably dressed, casual, but half reasonably dressed. But been doing this for about 2 years with you, and one day last year, I was rushing out of the house to come in and join you on the programme, and Judy said, "You're not going on the radio with that jumper on." She'd forgotten, of course.
Yeah.
But it's all about standards, Carl.
Yeah. But yeah. If you are going on the radio for, yeah, beware, because I think it was Douglas Alexander I mentioned him before.
Yes. Mm.
And I remember, I don't know if it was Humphreys or John or Naughty.
Yes.
I don't know if it might have been John Humphreys. But anyway,
I would have thought so.
One of the presenters just said to him, one of the first things they said was, "You look an absolute state. Look at you. You look terrible. Yeah. What have you been doing? What are you wearing?"
Yeah.
And then, rather cruelly, they said, "And if you want to see what the minister looks like, you can have a look on the webcam."
Oh. Hmm.
So right. There you go. Mm. No webcam here, though.
No, there isn't. But by the way, I like that tie you're wearing this morning.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's
is
great.
That silk?
Yeah. Mm. I'm in a T-shirt.
This afternoon, even.
No, that's right. Yes, it's rather nice made to measure I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Although you do look quite dapper, I have to say, Tom.
That's right.
I don't think that's a gardening shirt.
No, no.
No. So, it's all going on at the moment.
It sure is. Do you know...
elderflower, that's...
It's
that's,
out.
That's...
Elderflower wine.
Yeah.
Elderflower wine. Mm-hmm. Potent stuff.
Yeah.
So is the berry mind.
So, there's lots you could be doing at the moment.
Oh, yes. I was thinking about starting off one or two early vegetables. It's a favourite way of doing it. It gives them a flying start when you plant them out later. I'm thinking about onion sets and shallots. Plant a single onion set which is a little bulbous onion, if people have forgotten. Put it into a small pot with compost, and it starts rooting. Don't need a lot of heat. In fact, it just needs fairly cool conditions, but it will start rooting if it's on the greenhouse bench, cold greenhouse, and it will start shooting slowly, but the roots will grow quickly. And then when it comes to ready to plant out later, it's got a fantastic root system, and it hits the ground running, and it's away and growing. The same applies to things like peas and beans. One bean to a pot, and you get your two rows of beans together in a pot, ready growing, ready to plant out later. And I thought I must get started this week. And having gone into Harrogate yesterday, here are, they're ahead of me. And they have, you've probably heard of cell trays. And these are trays with little cells in them. And the plants that they produce in those, they sell as plugs. And there was a cell tray there with 10 lots of 4 peas in, and there were probably about 8 centimetres tall, and they're ready to sell, and they're toughened up because they're outside. And I thought, heavens, I'm falling behind already. But there's a price comes with it. You can sow your seeds if you wish, your peas and beans straight into the land if you wish. Mm-hmm. About mid-March I generally do it, if I do it that way. Mm-hmm. But if I put them in now in the pots, grow them on, it's much quicker, of course, in developing, and they've got a better chance when they're outside and growing, when you put them outside. But you can buy a packet of beans for about £1.52 for 10 lots of 4 beans in a pack. That's 40 single beans, 40 single peas yesterday. Mm. It was £3.50.
Mm.
So instant gardening does cost money, but it's very convenient.
Yes, yeah.
It's a similar thing with lawn seed. You can buy the best lawn seed. You can buy a lawn seed that's fairly hard wearing. You can buy a mixed type of lawn seed to create your own lawn. It doesn't cost a massive amount of money for it, but you have to wait for a germinating, and the birds have to have their share. And you watch it. It's lovely to watch it germinating, growing and thickening up and so on, but you can have instant lawn if you buy turves. Mm-hmm. But the downside is, for a square meter of turf, it's around about £3. So it depends what acreage or how many square meters of lawn you have to lay, or grass you have to lay. Mm-hmm. So there are ways and means of doing it. But anyway, I'm putting my vegetables into their pots now. Peas, beans, shallots, onion sets. That's a decent start. In the greenhouse, cold greenhouse, get them started off.
It's a lot of work, that, Tom, though, isn't it? It's a lot of this.
It is.
That's my mime.
If you, that's your mime for potting
well,
in the pots.
There's a lot more to it.
But frankly, you know, I've seen people potting up, and I've seen people potting up.
Is there a way to do it that's correct?
Well, there is a correct way, but for goodness sake, we just want the plant to grow the right way up, and we want to have a little piece of area in the top so we can put some water in and drain it off. So frankly, I have a heap of compost in front of me in the tray in the greenhouse at the potting bench, and I just scoop the pot in sideways, fill it over the top, level it off with the flat palm of my other hand, and then just give it a little bounce a couple of times on the bench, and firm it gently with the fingers, just gently, wee bit more in, and then just stick the piece in. Some people fill it up a little scoop at a time, and then they firm it, and then a little scoop more, and then firm it, etc. And it just takes an age, but you can do it fairly quickly once you've had a little bit of practice at it.
Sounds good to me, and very sensible. Our live guest here on this current section of the programme, it is co-presenter Tom Panson. So Tom, look at that.
The
look
sun out. Is shining through the skylight.
Look out the skylight.
This is a happy day. Isn't it?
It is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to hear from Mickey D again.
Yeah,
we
couldn't quite get the gist of the message because it came through the phone.
Yeah.
Which is always a bit weird when you get one of those text messages through a phone.
Yeah.
And it's Robot Woman, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Speaking in broken syllables.
Hello, Tom and Carl.
How are you today?
Kind of thing.
Mickey, I do hope that you're starting to think about getting those raised beds of yours in the yard outside the gallery in Almouth at the old school. I hope you're starting to tidy them up, because by golly, you'll be planting them shortly and things will be growing in them.
Aye, and what about the tatties?
Mm-hmm. Yes, those
tatties
as well.
Uh-huh.
By the way, there's a full range of potatoes on display at the garden centres at the moment, all the earlies and mid-season and late. They're all there, and growing bags to grow them in if you haven't got a garden. No excuse for not having early potatoes.
So planting, sowing the seeds, planting up, getting things a head start.
Not much outside at the moment.
Yep.
Unless you have a dwarf polytunnel or a cloche or something like that, or fleece to put over the top. You can warm up the soil if you've got a, say, something about 30 centimetres high, sort of one of those dwarf long polytunnels, which will warm the soil up before you sow. Even so, the seeds of peas and beans, you can now, if you wish, this early, and put the polytunnel over them, and they'll come on gradually. No harm done there. But by and large, keep them under cover, not necessarily a cold green, hot greenhouse, a cold one if possible. I went in the other day, and throughout the winter, I've been popping into the greenhouse just to see if things are ticking over, which they are, still alive. It's amazing what protection it gives some hardy plants, even if there's no heat. And we sowed a crop of lettuce and radish and some small turnip, and all of them have germinated, and they're coming on nicely at the moment. And the vine hasn't started breaking its buds yet, but it's a little early for it, but it will do fairly soon. But the point is, I've been going in during the day, and it's been quite cool in there. But two or three days ago, I went in, and it was 75 Fahrenheit. People will understand that. And gosh, I thought, I've got to open the, well, they're automatic windows, so one or two just opening. So I opened the doors wide and let a bit of heat out. Knee flex reaction. If it gets too high, then open the vents, open the door, and let some, if you've got plants in at the moment, cool it down a wee bit. But the trick is to save on heating costs. If you close down about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that head of heat that's been built up, which is will not harm the plants too much if it doesn't get too high, that will carry you well into the night. So watch the heat at the moment if you've got plants growing in there. And believe it or not, you'll find one or two plants that are slightly sticky to the touch. And that's because aphids have started already in the moderate warmth of a greenhouse.
Gosh.
And so you don't have to go with killer sprays, etc. If you wash them down, with just spray them with water, it'll deter them a wee bit anyway.
Yes, it's quite a bit to sort of get, I suppose, a balance between being overambitious and practical.
Yeah, and if you've bought, say you've paid maybe up to about £3 or £4 for a packet of seed, the F1 hybrids, which are expensive anyway for various reasons, you've got an expensive packet of seed, and you start sowing them now, and it stays wet and it stays cold, or it turns wet and it turns cold, they're just going to rot in the soil. And a typical example of this is parsnip. All the textbooks still say you can sow your parsnips outdoors in February. Not round here you can't.
Ah, I think I can hear the telltale sounds of something.
Stop trying. I'll open the bag for goodness sake, just to keep you quiet.
Yes, indeed, Tom. It is that time of the day when we have to say
what's in the bag,
Tom.
Wow. Hey, by the way, before I get into this bag,
is it a full bag?
It's no. I've got propagation of plants on my mind at the moment, and I've been out in the garden, and I was pulling the tops from Sedum spectabile. Yep. This is that beautiful deep pink flower that the butterflies come flying in for in the autumn, and that's how it was about 45 centimetres tall. The dead head is still on the top of the stem, dead flower head.
But look at the bottom, what's going on
look
there?
What's happening at the bottom. So, silly me, didn't have my secateurs. I thought I'll just try one of them, see if it comes off anyway, the head, the stem, the dead stem. It didn't. It came from the side, and there's young plants attached with roots. Just look at that. What a propagation opportunity. So, of course, I've taken a few more from the outside of a plant. This is something to remember. If it's a herbaceous perennial, which this is, dies down at the end of the year, then comes back again next year from the base. If it is, don't go for the centre, because that's where the old woody pieces are. You go from the outside, the periphery of it, and you take young pieces from there. All I need to do now, in fact, I did this at home before I came in, I got about a dozen, 15 of these, chopped the stem off just about 3 or 4 centimetres above the old stem, leaving 3 or 4 centimetres of the old stem on for handling's sake, and I popped them into the propagator. And there's no heat there, doesn't need heat, and they will root fairly quickly, pot them on, and then get them out into the garden. And I'll have a dozen more, at least, of the Sedum spectabile for the butterflies this year.
Fantastic.
So there's a propagation opportunity for you.
They're away, aren't they?
Yeah. And you know, they've got to sort of...
into a bit of shallow compost or...
Yeah, yeah, just a... Even into a pot of multi-purpose compost. Mm-hmm. Fill the pot and just push them into it lightly. And these are succulent-type plants. They have fleshy leaves which store moisture, store food. And when the plant is growing fully, if you look at it, the leaves themselves, individual leaves, can be just slightly bigger than a 50-penny piece. And if you give them a pluck them downwards, they'll come away from the plant. This is during the June-July period. Take one or two off, and if you put those into a tray of sand, damp sand, and keep it damp, they will root as well. Just a single leaf, just as a fuchsia leaf would root, a single fuchsia leaf.
Something.
So it's a marvellous opportunity for propagation at the moment. You've got a scent from something, have you?
Yeah, there's a very earthy smell, as one would expect at the root.
Oh, yes. But you see...
It's kind of like the smell of good, fresh soil, that. Lovely smell.
You see, you get this smell in the garden once the sun comes up, as it has today, and it's still streaming through the skylight here in the studio, which is brilliant.
Almost. It's like a bluey... Late summer...
It is.
Well, it's February. Afternoon sky.
Well, it is, yes.
I mean, the cranes are a recent addition to the view, isn't it?
Yes, that is a bit of
a
giant.
How high is that crane going?
Wow, I don't know. Well, 120, 130 feet. There's a building site next door, folks. You can see the crane, the tip of the crane from the skylight. This is indoors now.
Well, I know it's called a spider plant.
It's the spider plant. And a spider plant grows as green and creamy white stems, green on the outside, creamy white in the centre, long lanceolate leaves like lances, and it goes tumbling over the side of the pot. And when it reaches maturity after about 18 months, it starts to send a long stream of shoots out, not just one, several. And on the end of those, along the side, they're little spider plants. Mother with all the spider, young spiders. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is, here's the umbilical cord. Mm-hmm. You break that off, mm-hmm. take the little plant away and pop it into a pot. And that will root. Well, it's got roots already, you can see at the base. And sometimes if you get a cluster, not just one plant, you can separate it like that. I've just pulled it in half and both of those have roots on them. Excellent. I'll hand you one.
This could go next to my computer.
Well, it can.
Because they are supposed to be very good plants to have around a computer.
They are. And you'll find if it touches the screen, the static electricity will draw the... salts in the stem inside the leaf towards the screen, and if the screen changes and goes off for a short while, it comes away from it. And if you have them next to the television...
You're making that up.
No, it's true, it happens, yeah.
No!
The plant's leaves are filled with a salt solution, or several salts.
No!
Solution, yes. And if you put one of these on the television, which I had one last year on the television, the television goes on, and in between commercials, if you're watching a commercial channel, it draws the leaf down towards it. If the static electricity, it goes down towards the screen, and as soon as the screen changes, light goes off temporarily, it shoots back again. And you think the plant was dancing. And if you get music on, well, it is dancing. They keep changing the shots, and it looks like a dancing plant. But that's by the way.
Brilliant. There you go.
There's a lot more in here.
I think I could get one of those to take.
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you don't, when it's got roots already, then I'm concerned.
This is a terrific bag.
Now
I
then.
Never expected to see all this greenery, though.
Oh, yes.
We're ahead of time, aren't we?
Spring is coming.
Yeah.
And this is a little...
Well, it looks like a basil, mate.
Well, it has...
It's not, though, is it?
No.
It's a future.
It's a future. It's a future. It's a fuchsia. And I saw this little plant yesterday. Of the plant, to your pinching out one of the points, the growing points, mm-hmm. is it sends twice as many up again. And then within a month, you can take more cuttings from it. So when I view a plant like this, I don't think, oh, that's just one plant. It isn't. You have the potential for what's like rabbits breeding, more or less. I make my point. And I got this one as well. It's a beautiful little thing. It's called Snowcap. And that has that beautiful white centre also. And they can turn into standard fuchsias or bush fuchsias. It's up to you to make your mind of what you want.
And as I've discovered, they're not all hardy, are they?
Not all of them.
There's some are, though.
General rule, not hard and fast rule, but a general rule is, if the flowers are big, large flowers, they tend not to be hardy. But the smaller flowered fuchsias tend to be quite hardy. These are geraniums.
I was going to say, I recognise a leaf, yep.
Now, again, I'm talking about value for money here. There's a little cell tray there mm-hmm. with modules in, six cells in that tray, mm-hmm. and six plugs of geraniums. Now, those six, if you can take one out if you wish, pull it just gently up from by the leaf. Don't worry, you handle them by the leaf, not the stem. If you break a leaf, it'll grow another leaf. If you break the stem, we're doomed.
Oh, yes, there we go.
Okay, lovely plug of it. Look at the roots on that. Mm. You've just pulled it clear of the pot. Mm-hmm. You're holding it by the leaf, and that is brilliant. I got six of those for £2.50. Now, it may seem expensive to you, but that's it's an F1 hybrid, mm-hmm. first-generation hybrid, which will be vigorous, and it's of known quantity and quality. Six beautiful plants there, and that will grow on, and I'll get cuttings from those as well.
Mm.
But if you wanted to buy an F1 hybrid with 10 seeds in the packet, because that's more or less what most of them have in, 10 seeds, mm-hmm. You'd spend over £3 on a packet of seed. Mm-hmm. So I'd far rather buy six plugs well advanced like that mm-hmm. for £2.50 than a packet of seeds for £3, which I have to germinate, offer heat to, nurture, spend time on, pot mm-hmm. on, etc. So it's a good buy that at the moment. Six F1 hybrid geraniums for £2.50. I thought that was a bargain. And that's in the garden centre at the moment. Not going outside yet, of course. They're for inside. Mm-hmm. And that one is called Light Salmon, which is a beautiful pink. It's one of my favourites. And it will flower all year and into next year. And I'll get cuttings from it.
I'm a big fan of the lemon geranium.
Oh, yes.
Lovely.
That's beautiful. There are several lemon-scented ones, but there's one called Graviolens, which is absolutely pure citrus type. I did buy some seeds yesterday, and I went into Thompson & Morgan's stand at the garden centre, and I went for the section deliberately, which has sprouting beans in. Now, this is alfalfa. There's another one called mung beans. There is spicy fenugreek, and so it goes on. Beetroot, leaf lettuce, all sorts of things. But these ones especially, the sprouting beans. If you grow these on, it takes 2 days to germinate, and within 5 to 6 days, you can have them for fry or a raw salad. And they're beautiful. And things like spicy fenugreek have a peppery, sort of spicy taste that adds so much to a dish.
And you can just grow those in a jar, can't you?
Well, you grow them in a jar, yes. You put them in a jar and you have a rubber band and a piece of muslin or something over the end, whatever you can find, and you put water in, you shake them up and you drain the water off and you put them in the airing cupboard. Next day, give them a shake, alfalfa. Next day, you fill them with water again through the muslin on the top. You drain them off and you put them back in the airing cupboard. And you do that for several days. And then at the end of the week, most certainly, you have gorgeous fluffy salad. And there's a choice of about 10 different varieties. That's a lovely thing to start youngsters off with if you want a youngster to become interested in plants. Because within a week, they can sow and they can taste.
I'll have to get some of those.
Yeah, well, they're on sale at the moment.
Great.
It's a good way to start sowing for the week, for the year, mm-hmm. for the month.
Yeah.
Okay. I did put one little thing in here I thought was so important, a packet of labels. How often am I in the greenhouse? How often in there? And there's not a label in sight. Or the end of the pencil snapped. Or the biro pen won't work. and the indelible ink pen, which is what you should have, has run out. But don't run out of labels, for goodness sake.
I'm terrible.
Well, I'm starting, as I mean to continue this year.
My new garden resolution, Tom.
Full pack of labels.
Yeah.
Full pack of labels there. But we're not finished yet. We
There's
have
more.
Time.
What a bag.
There is more. There is more. At the moment, there's so many beautiful little plants coming into flower that I thought I must bring just a little taste or snippet, a view of them. Last fortnight, we had those beautiful snowdrops down at Howick Hall. They're still flowering, by the way, and they're gorgeous at the moment, masses of them. So if you're interested, it's open today, it's open tomorrow, it's open Sunday, and the tea room's open as well. So Howick Hall should be on the itinerary if you haven't seen the snowdrops there yet. I've also got here...
And let's just give a plug to Annick Garden.
Yes, almost certainly.
Because that's still open for free, isn't it?
It is open, most certainly. It's open free. It's open today, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the little coffee shop, the coffee area and the shop are open. You can have a coffee in there. In fact, I meet up with a couple of friends, Jeff and Adrian, for the museum on a Saturday morning there, and we have a coffee and then a wander around the garden. And it will be opening fully on April the 1st, of course, again. But for the moment, it's open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend period. And of course, the treehouse is open all the time during the day, most of the time anyway. Look back to these. That is iris, a dwarf iris reticulata. Beautiful. And this is another dwarf iris. It hasn't opened up to this shape yet, but the bud is just opening. And this one is Danfordii, which is a yellow. That's stunning at the moment. It's just opening. You see the shape it's taking when I open the bud up with
Beautiful.
My fingers? Absolutely brilliant. And these are just about 12 centimetres tall. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're flowering outside and hardy as anything.
Growing from a bulb?
Yes, bulbs.
Yeah.
And you plant the bulbs in October and put them in a clump and just about 2 inches below the surface and they thrive. I've had them in the garden, Danfordii, the yellow one, and Reticulata, the purple, and you can get them blue as well, of course, and you get different hybrids of it and cultivars. I've had those in the garden for several years and they come up without fail every single year.
Gorgeous colours those, aren't they?
They are beautiful. And
it's a stunning yellow. Let's have a look at that again.
Yeah. That's clear, isn't it?
It's a real daffodil yellow, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Beautiful, yeah. Love that.
Speaking of which, you do know that the dwarf daffodils flower way ahead of the tall daffodils. Always the case. And this is one of my favourite dwarf daffodils. It's called Minnow. And sometimes it has three flowers to the head. It's triandrous type, but generally has three flowers to a single stem. And it's really good value for money, Minnow. And it lasts for several weeks when it flowers. And there's a bud there just going to open shortly. That will come out in water.
It's a daffodil. Little beauty, isn't it?
Dwarf narcissus. Also I have here...
Small.
They're just coming out now. And these are a dream. These are the polyanthus, the primula family. And those are just coming into their own shortly. They're climbing up to a crescendo about April time.
Hose in hose.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And this one, the aconitum, Eranthus, that is, some of them are just going over, some are still flowering. That's one of the earliest bulbs to flower, the aconite. And they're a beautiful clear yellow when you see them at soil level. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's going over now. And the crocuses are just coming up as well.
I like the aconite flower with its kind of ruff.
It's got
a green ruff.
It has a collar or a ruff, yes. And then the flowers, the yellow flowers, stand proud of it.
Like a chorister.
It is. Yes, it is. Like a chorister at King's.
Crocus.
It's a crocus, but that's a species crocus, a little one.
Is it Crocosema?
That's Crocosmia, is a herbaceous perennial, which has the sort of snake-like flowering head, and they grow to about, well, they can grow anything from about 30 centimetres up to about 80, 90 centimetres, according to the variety you have.
Completely different species.
Oh, yes. Bulbous, but they're total perennials, and much taller, much taller. But that is a little species type, and I'm starting to get onto dainty things here now, because... Nothing wrong with large alliums, other types of bulbs, lilium and so on. But the small ones are really worthwhile. But
just noting the... well, obviously we have the yellow petals and
yes.
the orange... not sepals.
At the centre, the boss in the middle, the reproductive area, pistil in the centre.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
They're amazing, aren't they?
They are, indeed.
Three, neon orange.
Yeah. No wonder the bees come homing in.
Mm-hmm. Great, isn't it?
Yeah. And you've seen this one before. It's a taller potted cyclamen, and we've had it for 3 months flowering, and it cost about £3 for a pot of this, less than £3. And we've had it flowering for 3 months, but just look at this little beauty. It's even got the corm attached. That's a cyclamen which is flowering outdoors at the moment. You see it growing from that corm?
Hello, I think we've got some guests.
We've got some guests. And there you are. Just a different variety. Beautiful, tiny cyclamen. You'd think they wouldn't stand up to any cold at all, or rain, or wet, but they do. And they're flowering.
Hard as nails.
So
dainty, though.
Tough as old boots. Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Well, that's an amazing bag.
Not bad.
Absolutely amazing. And that's us live, Tom. I thought it was quite right to say after that fantastic bag, a proper goodbye, and thanks for a fantastic What's in the Bag, Tom.
Oh, you're welcome. It's lovely to be here every time. And
packed studio.
This is a lovely invasion.
Isn't this one of the best behaved dogs you've ever met?
He's a beauty, or she.
It's Molly.
Sorry, Molly. Yeah. Molly's a beauty. She's got a gorgeous, beautiful coloured... body, really beautiful, isn't she?
She's a jug.
Are you well behaved? And what did you think of the beach, Molly?
Not a lot.
Not
say,
a lot.
Really.
She's
not for radio. Definitely for TV. I think.
She's microphone shy, as Molly. It's just so good to be here again, Carl. And you know, I hope people go out and see those snowdrops this weekend at Howick.
Yes, they were.
Or pop
really
into the Annie Garden for a coffee, and we'll have to sort out something for possibly next time, fortnight.
That. Let's do that, yep.
I'll get in touch with one of my gardening friends locally and we'll go to their garden. It's open for the public, National Trust or something. And we'll just keep people alerted to what's available out there for visits this year.
Definitely, yep. I'm still waiting for my smile of snowdrops that the dear girls here planted for me, didn't you?
Did
yes,
they?
They're very quiet in the background.
No. Well, yeah. they've been on radio. At least one of them's been on. What, two? Yes. Both been on radio. Yeah. And their mum is a roving reporter at the beach. Yeah. What more do you want?
I know.
So I'm leaving you in good hands today, Carl.
Yes, I think it's time to get up to the hour. What I'm thinking is we'll move on up to the hour, but we'll get ready for a sort of reggae sunsplash triple whammy after the hour.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good. Coupled with a cup of char.
Does this mean you're going to dance again?
Probably.
Wow.
So, Tom, quiet weekend or a bit more of that?
Busy.
Doesn't look quiet, judging by the bag.
If this sun keeps the way it's going, tidy up in the garden, get a real start on it.
Well, before you go, Tom, there's one last duty. I'll just change this over, right? I'll pop this in here. I think it's track 8. I wonder if... does this sound familiar? Let's get the right track on. Shipcoat and friends, deep in the Canada snow.
Looking at the window, everything was white. Cold air was sapping through my vein. I was deep in Canada snow. Minus 20 when I got here. For 6 months or more. Someone said you better get used to it. Deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow. Jumpers out to walk into town. Two hats and a thermal coat. I was slipping and sliding around. Deep in the Canada snow. They say that Astoria's similar to the corner book folk. You couldn't understand a word I said. You're deep in the candle of snow. You're deep in the candle of snow. If you go to Newfoundland, you better beware. We have two lucky magpies, and they have great big grizzly bears, and that's the women at the Royal Legion. Was a swell place to be, Bob and me in grand hospitality. Deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow. Surrounded by hillside and snowdrifts galore, there's a great community deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow.
Well done, team. Well done.